The Service to America medals honor federal employees who go above and beyond their job descriptions in serving the public. Now, for the next few months, Federal News Radio will be speaking to this year's finalists. Today's guest has helped to protect shipping ports from terrorist attacks. As Chief of the Coast Guard Office of International and Domestic Port Security, Tony Riegel-Buto has set up a program to improve security both in the United States and abroad, and he joins us now. Tony, good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, congratulations, and second of all, tell us about your program.
Oh, thank you so much. Following the September 11th terrorist attacks, we realized in the Coast Guard there weren't any national or international standards to address maritime terrorist attacks. So I was empowered by the Coast Guard to develop a plan of action. In 2002, I was part of the U.S. delegation that went to the International Maritime Organization in London, and which is part of the United Nations organization. And at the IMO, we developed the International Ship and Port Facility Security Code, which required commercial ships and port facilities to conduct security assessments and develop security plans. Also, about that same time, Congress was working on the Maritime Transportation Security Act of 2002, and part of that new law required the Coast Guard to conduct security assessments of our economic and strategic ports in the United States. So by the Coast Guard giving me that program to help develop, then what I did on the domestic side is that we created the how to actually conduct an assessment of these economic and strategic ports, and in a three-year period, we conducted about 100 assessments of those ports and got them completed, and we repeat them on a periodic basis. On the international side, we assess about 160 countries, and we do that on a 2- and 3-year period. So that's quite a challenge that we've had following the terrorist attacks to prepare the United States for such an attack.
So give us a sense of what you actually do during one of these assessments. I mean, what does the Coast Guard do?
Okay, so using those international standards, we wanted to have something that each port facility and each ship could have a consistent framework. So we first look at the physical security of the facility itself. This is on the commercial side, on the domestic and international front, so their consistency. So what we're trying to do is trying to harden that facility so that if somebody tried to bring weapons of mass destruction onto the facility or if terrorists tried to get on board a ship bound for the United States, we want to ensure that that port facility in the foreign port is really locking down to make sure that they have good accessibility of the people and cargo that come onto the facility. What we're trying to do is trying to prevent the ship from getting contaminated by weapons of mass destruction or terrorists as they're coming toward the United States. And part of our challenge is that 14 out of every 15 ships that come to the United States are foreign flag ships. So we don't have total control as we would of a U.S. flag vessel.
And how far out from the port itself does the ring of security go? In other words, what about the workers and labor at ports, especially around the world where, you know, it could get dicey pretty quickly 2 blocks away from the port?
Yeah, I think that's quite the challenge because one of the things that we tried to establish at the International Maritime Organization was a credential with a biometric in it. And IMO, for whatever reason, I think mostly through privacy laws in some of the developing countries, wouldn't allow that type of recognition. So each nation is required then to develop some type of identification system. In the United States, we have the TWIC card, which is a transportation worker identification card, which has the biometrics in it, which gives us a higher level of confidence. So I think that is a vulnerability in the system.
And regarding the TWIC card, that's been under scrutiny recently just because there was that shooting at the naval station Norfolk in which someone with a TWIC card got onto the base and was the shooter. So is that something that your team looks at? Are you involved with the TWIC at all?
I'm not personally involved in the TWIC card. That's a different office, but and I don't know all the details on that, so I don't know exactly what happened on that particular case. I think always we can do probably a better job on the background checks on the people.
And I wanted to ask you about containers, and you seem like the right guy to ask about this because this has been an issue for many, many years, and that is how to screen or monitor or X-ray or scan containers that are coming in. What's the state of the art these days on understanding the safety of containers coming in?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think that's more Customs and Border Protection that has responsibility for containers. I work closely with those folks, and so on the international ports, Well, we're looking at the facility. They're focusing in on the containers themselves. So as the container gets stuffed in the manufacturing plant in the foreign port, there are measures in place that they have. They have a container security initiative and a CTPAT program that tries to ensure that the cargo that's being stuffed in the container that gets to the foreign port before it gets on board the ship and then bound to the United States, they have measures in place. So we work complementary with Customs and Border Protection, because when we find that there are problems in a port because of physical security on the port facility, we feed that into the Customs and Border Protection's automated targeting system, and they try then to, focus in on the containers coming from those particular countries that have poor security.
We're speaking with Tony Rigoluto. He is chief of the Office of International and Domestic Port Security at the Coast Guard and a finalist for this year's Service to America medals. Tony, it raises this big question. How safe are ports, both here at home and internationally?
I think they are relatively safe because I think of the international standards that we put in place. There's always things you can do better, but I think that what we've been able to establish with the International Ship and Port Facility Security Code is probably a good measure to start with, but I think we need to go further on that. For example, when we went to the International Maritime Organization, we had proposed that there be an umbrella plan for the port. So you have the individual ship plan, you have the individual port facility plan, but there's no requirement for a port-level plan, which is really the government's responsibility. So if you have a large vessel coming into a port and you have a waterborne improvised explosive device like the Lindbergh or the USS Cole, where the small boat comes up with explosives, a large commercial ship cannot protect itself from that type of attack. In the United States, under the MITSA Act that I talked about earlier, there's an umbrella plan that the Coast Guard is responsible for and lays out the Coast Guard's responsibilities along with law enforcement or what we're going to do to try to protect those ships from that type of attack.
And if you were to look at ports, they have two sides. There's the land side and the water side. And I guess my first question is, which is more dangerous, or does that depend on what country you're in? And also, does the Coast Guard have personnel ashore at ports as well as in patrol boats?
So, yes, we do have them land and water side, and that we do check the security on the land side and the water side. It really depends on it, because what we have done is we have a risk tool that was developed, that we developed, matter of fact, Maritime Security Risk Analysis, a model, which looks at threats and targets. So we take a look at a particular, like a cruise ship, and then we look at, okay, how can terrorists attack it? What is their intent and capability? Can they attack by water? Can they attack by land? And then we decide on what's more important. So if there's a bridge like in San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge, and we see one terrorist attack scenario may be from, say, a truck bomb going across the bridge, that's not a Coast Guard responsibility, but we work with our port partners, and we say, okay, California State Police, San Francisco Police, whose responsibility is that? And so we plan that out, and then we write that into the plan and say, okay, the police have responsibility for heightened threat periods to check for trucks going over the bridge. For ships, we could say one attack scenario is for people to commandeer the bridge like they did on the airplanes in 9/11 and try to take effective control of the ship and sail it toward the Golden Gate Bridge. Well, that's the Coast Guard responsibility, so we put law enforcement teams on board certain ships to make sure they can't commandeer it. So we try to work with our port partners and with law enforcement to ensure we have good security. My sense is that you see in what happens, particularly in the developing countries, we don't see that same level of effort where the government is taking total responsibility and trying to work with their port partners. And I think that's the weakness that we have.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, when you're talking about doing this internationally, what's the biggest challenge?
Well, the first challenge is trying to get into the country because we have to be invited in, okay?
Are you invited in usually?
I'd say 99.9% of times we are invited in, I think, because of our reputation of working with people and trying to improve their security. So I think it's a pretty good relationship. We've had problems, but we've overcome some of those problems too. Say, for example, I think when we initially invited China and Russia to visit the United States, we got some pushback, but then we said, okay, why don't you come and visit our ports and we'll explain our programs before we go to your country. So we developed this reciprocal visit program which I think has worked quite effectively and to bring down some of those barriers, and trying to share what we're seeing, best practices, not only in the United States, but we've learned in the 160 countries that we visit every 2 years.
And I just had a quick question about the cruise ship industry. They seem to be building ships faster than they can fill them. But how good is that industry in general at cooperating with the security requirements of ports and of nations?
I think they actually are probably one of the best in trying to deal with security issues. They really have a vested interest. I think that when we put out that there are problems in a particular port in a country, they have the ability to actually not to go into that port, and they have done that on a regular basis. So when we found that Venezuela did not have effective anti-terrorism measures, the cruise industry don't longer call in Venezuelan ports. And they actually have tremendous security teams on board the ship to try to ensure that they are hardened.
And Tony, finally, some of the people who have nominated you for this award cite your vision and your eagerness to take on what was really new territory and a very big project. Can you just give us maybe one aspect of wisdom that you think can be applied to other programs?
Well, I think that the Coast Guard, because we're such a small organization, they really empower their people. And I think that's something that I don't see that in some of the other government agencies that allow their people to really create the vision that needs to be done and then giving us the tools to get it done. I'm fortunate because I'm biased, but I'd say Coast Guard people are the best people that I've ever worked with and ever been associated with, and I've been doing this now for 43 years, 31 years active duty and now 12 years as a civilian. And just letting Coast Guard people and the missions that we have, it's just tremendous. People want to come to work. They want to do a good job. And when you talk about service to America, we have 11 missions of the Coast Guard that really connect with, I think, the American public. So people join the Coast Guard for those missions. And so having those type of missions and the quality of your people and you're empowered to do things, you're spelling success for your nation.
Tony Rugel-Butto is Chief of the Coast Guard Office of International and Domestic Port Security. Tony, thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much, too.